I want to thank you for the songs that you have selected to lead us in this morning, and it's good to see many out on this first large day of 2017. You know, our theme this year for our lessons and going into our Bible classes is the life and teachings of Jesus. Now, we'll start our Bible class lessons next week, and it will focus in on that. And what we're wanting to do and encourage our teachers to do is that they will focus on as similar lessons as possible so that the family can have a little bit more visitation and conversation about the lessons that are being taught each week. Now, we're not going to be hard class to that. We're not going to say everybody has to study that birth of Christ at the same time, but we'll be close and we'll be in that general vicinity, especially next week. Along with my lessons, I'll be focusing in on the life and teachings of Jesus throughout the year. I put together a syllabus, and we'll be giving those to the teachers and others if you'd like to have that, that could be available to you. But along with that, we don't want to confuse you about the historical Bible reading chart. I want to encourage you to be a daily Bible reader. Many of you have already got your little green sheets and probably have already started doing that. We want to encourage you to be Bible readers. It wasn't interesting today. How many watched Phil's program today? You know, started out, I said, Phil, my goodness, they're going to think I stole some of your notes. And John's always telling me, Dave visits up with the Arnold Church on Sunday night. He said, sometimes I wonder, do you preachers kind of coincide your lessons? I said, not necessarily, but sometimes it seems that way. But Phil's lesson was dealing a lot with what I'm going to be sharing with you today, and that's about God's Word. But God's Word's what we have that reveals to us God and Jesus. And without the Word of God, we would be guessing. It would all be a guessing game. Without having the message of God, and then He brought it down into word form, we would be out here just pondering about, very much probably perplexed. That's what happened in the beginning. Mankind had an opportunity to communicate with God, but many abandoned that. And they started looking for all kinds of different avenues of acknowledging God. That's why we find throughout history, all civilizations had some type of form of worship. But too often those forms of worship were not the worship of God. They substituted. It's kind of like when you have a substitute teacher at school. You get by with a lot of stuff. My son and daughter-in-law both dislike missing school. And they dislike it because when they miss school, they know there's going to be a substitute. And even though they're proud that there are others that are training and growing in their ability to teach, they know the kids are basically going to have, you know, free reign. And that's what happened when I was a kid in school. When the substitute was in charge of class, we knew we had free reign. As a matter of fact, I worked as a substitute teacher even when I was through high school. I was allowed to go in and be the substitute for our science teacher, and I would show a movie on the projector. Believe me, the kids liked that opportunity of just having free reign. When we think about the substitutes we have a lot of substitutes. But the thing that tells us about God, and especially Jesus, is the Bible. Now this morning we read there in Psalm chapter 40. And we read there where it says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will. Back in the psalm, it was revealed that the Christ would come in the scroll of the book and all the things that God had written down. When we look over to Hebrews chapter 10, we find in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, therefore, when he came into the world, speaking of Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body. You have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice of sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will. Jesus came to fulfill God's Word, the Word that He is, as John's encouraging us to see in the Gospel of John lessons that we have on Sunday morning. And Jesus came forth to reveal what the will of God was as He lived out what the Word conveyed. Now, when we think about it, in 2017, we want to read our Bibles. But in 2017, we want to read, and we want to read the history that it teaches us about Jesus. Because Jesus is throughout the Bible. And I want to encourage you today, as you read through your Bible, beginning there in Genesis. And I'm going to give you a couple little tidbits today. But as you're reading through your Bible, I want you to have an eye for Jesus. I want you to be looking for the Christ. I want you to be looking for evidence of His presence throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, from word go. If you look in John chapter 1, you find, as Genesis 1:1 would say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John chapter 1 and verses 1 and following, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word made all things possible. As a matter of fact, it specifies and makes it very clear that the Word is what created everything. Colossians chapter 1 would tell us that all things exist and they are here because of Him and for Him. And that's what Jesus is all about. And so when we think about the idea of Jesus, and we realize that Jesus is the Master, that He's the Savior, that He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that He's the blessed Prince of Peace, that He's the Shepherd, He's the Fortress, He's the Rock of Salvation, He's the Lamb of God, He is. He's the Son of David, the King of Ages, the Eternal Life, the Holy Lord of Glory. His name is Life. That's what Jesus is all about. And we think about Jesus, we think that song, Jesus, He's the sweetest name that I know. He's the just one, the same. And He is just the same. And His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so, as one of the songs says. Jesus is the sweetest name that I know, that wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus, written throughout all the different books of the Bible. And we're going to look at some of those. Philip came to Nathanael and he said to him, "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now I want you to think about this. And in the setting of what too often some have done, too often some have said the Bible was an afterthought. The Bible, the Scriptures, were written after everything occurred. There are people who even go back, and that's one of the reasons why we are should be very excited as Bible believers. When we find new discoveries of ancient writings of the Bible, for instance, I have many, many different slides of my own, many, many, many photographs of Bibles, papyrus sheets, vellums, being given the opportunity to go back and see the Dead Sea Scrolls when the Green family had those down in Springfield. And going back not just to the 9th century. You see, for a long time we relied upon earlier manuscripts, not later manuscripts, or later manuscripts rather than early manuscripts. And for a long time, a lot of the Bibles that we had were written based upon 9th century A.D., manuscripts. Not even that many. What does that mean? Well, that was written long after all the people in the Bible lived. All the places in the Bible were acknowledged. All the events occurred. And you can say, well, really, these are just afterthoughts. Well, see, that's what Buddhists do. See, Buddhists talk about following Buddha. But they say Buddha lived way back in the B.C. period. But for 500 years, there was nothing written about Buddha. There was no written record about what Buddha taught. And now it's after 500 years they come up with all. Well, same thing was, the same thought and concept was conveyed about Jesus. That Jesus, well, really what we rely upon is in the 9th century. Now, we've come a long way. Because we know the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered and they took us back to 300 B.C., they took us back to the period of Alexander Great in that. Then we find papyrus sheets that take us back to the 1st and 2nd century. And I have personal copies of those things. I have seen them with my own eyes, as many of you have seen. And you can look them up. There's just so many more we have. And they take us back and they show us the accuracy and the authenticity of the Word of God. Well, here's what Philip is saying here. He goes to Nathanael and he says, "We have found Him that Moses spoke about." And so if we look at our Bible history, we find that Nathanael is being told by Philip, we are going by the one who wrote back during the days of an actual Moses living in history, back during the Egyptian civilization, the first real civilization of humanity. And so the Bible is encouraging us about it. Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Some people call this the Torah. The three legs of the Jewish scriptures, the Jewish scrolls, and that being the law of Moses, the law, and then the Psalms, the poetry books, and then the prophets being the history and what God went on. Well, Jesus said everything that has been written prior, everything Moses wrote about, everything that the psalmist wrote about, everything that the prophets have spoken about, I have fulfilled. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to be the fulfillment of all those things. So when we look at it, we realize another interesting section of Scripture is on the road to Emmaus. Jesus met Cleopas and another, and he walked along with them. He talked with them, and it's interesting. After he has died and been buried and resurrected, he comes and he's with these two guys, and he has come forth, raised back from the dead, and they're kind of uncertain about who he really is, and that's an incredible lesson when we go through that, and you'll deal with that through the life of Christ. But as they're talking, he says, "In beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him." Now I want you to think about it. You go back to the first section of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and you look back into Genesis, and as you're reading Genesis, some of you may have already started, maybe you're already in the book of Job as you're doing your historical study, but as you're going along, I hope from now on, you'll really try to have a keen eye and try to have a real awareness of different things said that are really pointing ahead to Jesus. But I'm going to give you some insight to it. You see, Jesus is the heart of the Holy Bible. Now, I know that's not profound. It's just to remind you. It's to let you know that Jesus is the Word of God. So let's think about it. In Genesis chapter 3, we're told about the seed of woman. Galatians confirms that he is the seed of woman. So way back over in Genesis, when God gives the first prophecy of a Savior to deliver us from sin, he's talking about Jesus. So when you open up your Bible and you start reading your Bible, and that's interesting, I've given you some questions in our bulletin today about the beginning. And I've asked you to think about some things that Jesus talked about from the beginning. Jesus talked about creation. See, Jesus believed in creation. And he believed in the literal creation that we understand through the Bible. He believed in the 6 days of creation. He also believed that in the beginning that God made male and female, and God instituted the covenant of marriage in the beginning. He also talked about the flood that occurred in the beginning. He dealt with different things throughout the beginning, things that Jesus held to. And if you and I are really going to understand Jesus and apply what he has conveyed to us to our knowledge, then we will accept those things as well, because we want to accept the same things that Jesus accepted. So Jesus is the seed of woman that Genesis chapter 3 is talking about. Jesus is the Passover lamb of Exodus, when the death angel came and passed over the houses that had the blood of the lamb. Jesus is that lamb. Behold, John said, "Jesus is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." He's the anointing sacrifice of the Leviticus, as we look through Leviticus and we see so much mentioned. As we look into the smitten rock of Numbers chapter 20, he is that smitten rock. He is the rock which flowed forth water and nourished the people. He is that one. Now you're saying, well, how could that be Jesus? Because Jesus has always been. And that's really what we need to get our heads wrapped around. We really need to get our heads wrapped around that Jesus is everything. You think about things that come and go, come and go, come and go. Many things come and go. Life itself comes and goes. Sometimes when people pass away, some who don't understand God and what God is capable of, they're greatly overcome with grief and sorrow. There's heartache and despair because they don't really hold to the idea that there's more to this life than what we're really encountering right now. But Jesus is the evidence that God is real. And he's back in the Old Testament, prior to the Old Testament. That's an incredible thought. I want to challenge you with that thought. That Jesus was even before the creation. And then Jesus brought the creation into being. And that Jesus is all through the Old Testament. And that's what we're trying to encourage you about. And if Jesus is there before the creation, and he's there during creation, and he's there throughout the whole entire Old Testament, and he comes and lives as a man, but then he ascends back, guess who's going to be there forevermore? It's Jesus, dear friend. Get our minds wrapped around the truth of Jesus' true existence. You know, he's the faithful prophet of Deuteronomy chapter 18. No, it was not Muhammad speaking to the Muslim people. No, it was Jesus Christ. He's the one that fits. He's the seed of, he is the Lord of the Sabaoth, the Lord Sabaoth. We sing a song, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood, a mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth there is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask that may Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. We know, we think about that, and we sing a lot of different things, we talk about a lot of things, and we need to just grasp that sometimes to just be overly, you know, just encouraged about those things. You think about Jesus, he's the judge of judges, as James brings out. He is the redeeming kinsman that Ruth encountered, that we find in Hebrews. He is the Lord's anointed, as we bring out in John chapter 12. He is the seed of David, as we find through the message of Nathanael to David. He is the wonderful son of David. He is the King of Kings, as the book of Kings reveals in Revelation does. He is the temple builder, and you and I are a part of that temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence, keep silence, keep silence before him. Now think about that song. So Habakkuk talk about coming into the temple of God and being silent. Now there are times that we do show our respect, as we even did recently with the taking of the Lord's Supper. We showed our reverence. Because the Lord's Supper is called, we're called upon at the Lord's Supper to remember his death. That's what it says. We take of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and we remember his death until he comes again. At that time, there's a time of reverence. There's a time of respect for what he's done. But you know, there's going to be a time when you and I will go into that eternal temple, that temple he's building for us, that's built upon his eternal foundation, and the prophets and the apostles being those wonderful stones building up, and you and I of faith, some already there with him, and some of us remaining to go and be with him. And we go there, there's going to be great rejoicing. It'll be a time of great jubilee when we go with God. We think about, he is the one who prepared to take the scroll. That's what he did. He's like Ezra of old. He took the scroll, and he is the one who advocated and communicated the scroll. He is the great builder. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, he's called the tecton. He's called the tecton in the Greek language. He is the master builder. He's not only the master builder, he's the master achiever and completer. He finished the work. He is the preserver of his people there in Esther. Without God being there and God's presence being there, the Jewish people would have been annihilated. Remember the story with Haman hating Mordecai and all those things going on. But Jesus is the preserver. He is the redeemer of Job. Job said, after going through all these different things that he went through, these great agonizing things, these personal afflictions that came upon him, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know He says, I want it etched in a stone with a steel pen. I want it engraved there because I want people to know that I know my Redeemer lives. That's how you and I should rejoice every day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so happy that my Jesus lives and my Jesus gives me life. And no matter what comes my way, I thought it was interesting, Dale's prayer. He talked about things that have passed on. And he talked about things that were maybe sometimes some challenging things, some things that maybe brought pain to our life. But he went into the wonderful things that we experienced. But he went to the new in the 2017 and the first day of the new year. He talked about, you know, we're looking forward to great things, but we're also aware that there will be some challenging things. There will be some heartache in 2017. But you know what? The main thing we can trust in is that Jesus Christ will be there for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We can always rely upon Jesus. That's why it's so important to see the evidence of from the witnesses as they convey these messages to us. He is the good shepherd, and he watches over his sheep. He is the wisdom of God, as Proverbs declares. He is the God's preacher from Ecclesiastes. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is the one who suffered for all of us, as Isaiah and the Ethiopian eunuch came to understand. He is the maker of the new covenant. What a powerful statement. You see, we're not beckoned to follow God anymore by a rigid law. Although the law itself was not sinful, the law revealed the perfection of God and the imperfection of us. But we're not called to follow these rigid rules and regulations and try to measure up. We're not called to do that. But we pursue God based upon our faith and His grace and His mercy that He's given to us. And we want to be what God offers us because He has so much to give us. And when we look at it, the new covenant says, now He says, it's in the mind, it's in the heart of people. And they rejoice to follow God. See, the grace of God is a gift. And no one can do anything for that gift. It is a gift. You have people just recently that you have, maybe family or friends. Maybe you were a recipient of a gift. A gift that just said, I love you from someone. You didn't give anything. You didn't do anything. You just received that gift. Maybe you were the giver. Maybe you gave a gift. And I didn't bring you a gift. I didn't want you to even think about bringing me a gift. I want you to have this gift. I just want you to have this gift because you're special to me. I love you. I just want you to have it. You didn't expect anything back. You see, that's the grace of God. The grace of God is through all those wonderful gifts that we are given throughout life, especially the gift of Jesus. But then there's the mercy of God. And the mercy of God is not giving us what we deserve, EJ. Isn't that something when we think about it? You know, not getting, Larry, what I deserve. And the deserve is not, I am so good, I just know. When we really examined all the things of all of our lives, we'd all have our flaws because we all have our iniquities. We all have our sins. We all have our transgressions. We all have those skeletons in our closet. And if God was to really repay us for what we really deserve, we would encounter the wages of sin, and that is death. But because of God's great gift of grace, He gives us life. And because of His great gift of mercy, He doesn't look at what we really deserve. He gives us what we really need, and that's Jesus. Amen. He gives us that wonderful love and presence of Jesus. He is the man of sorrows for you and I. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Remember when you studied Ezekiel? I don't know if you got there. Yeah, you used to got there. Ezekiel chapter, and Tom, you're chapter 9. Chapter 9 on Wednesday. Tom's studying Ezekiel chapter 9. But in the Ezekiel, you learned about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. What's that mean? He's the big wheel. Don't worry about who's the big wheel. Don't get caught up on who's the king of the mountain. Don't get caught up on who's superior, who's sovereign. It's Jesus. Jesus is the name above all names. That's what we need to remember. You see, He is the most holy. He is the faithful husband. He is the one who poured out His Spirit so that you and I could have salvation through the wonderful love of God. He is the harvester. He is the one that's going to come forth and really glean and bring forth the real fruits of God. He is the Lord of the kingdom. He is the resurrected one. You see, when we think about Jesus, He is the ruler of Israel. He's the avenger. Yes, He is the avenger. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There are things that occur in life that are wrong, that have no justice in them at all. There's one out there that he is a predator. There's one out there who seeks who he can devour every second of every minute. He's called the devil. And there are people who fall prey to him. And there's a time when vengeance will be needed to be taken. And Jesus is the one who will do that at the proper time. He is God. He is God. Over and over, we need to tell ourselves, Jesus, he wasn't just a mere man, nor is he anything of a myth. But he is our wonderful master and Messiah. He is our Christ. He is our God. He's the King of Israel. He's the desire of the nations, and truly all nations will come, and they will desire his wonderful way. He is the righteous branch. As we look at the wonderful teachings of God, he is the Son of righteousness. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will stumble. But and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of righteousness, shall rise with hearing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like a stall-fedded calves. You shall trample down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord God of hosts. Jesus is the one who will provide for us. Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. As we think about these things and you read through your Bible, I want you to come to understand that Jesus is the one who fulfills us. And here's what he says. I'm the good shepherd. I've come to give you full and abundant life. That's what Jesus does for us as children of his. When we call upon his name and we repent of our sins, turning back to him, when we embrace him and we are baptized, he resurrects us by his wonderful power to walk in that newness of life, capable of experiencing the wonderful things that he has in store for us today. That's what Jesus wants to do for all of us. If you're outside the fold of God, we encourage you to consider to come into the family of God through Jesus today. And once you do, we encourage you to remember that Jesus is the one who makes all things possible. If you need to change anything in your special way today, Jesus is ready to receive you while we stand and while we sing.